Let us go to our Bibles in the book of Romans, chapter 5. I'm just going to read from verse 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Let me just read to 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So before I start, please, you will have to take your notes. I'm not giving out any notes. But I want to recommend a book here, this one. It has got all things I'm going to talk about, and you can get it here at only 5 bob. So after I finish, please, you can go for this book. It's going to, you can read into more details what I'm just going to talk about. So I'm speaking about the blessings of the gospel. What a wonderful subject, you know. Blessings of the gospel. You know, knowing that we have blessings in God, it gives us the right view of God. It thrills us to live for God's glory and God's honor in this life. And in our country today, people have got wrong concept of blessings. And today we just want to look at the blessings of the gospel. For many years I've been preaching in rural areas. There was a time I was in Masaini. And when I came to Nairobi, people are now saying, I am blessed. Simply because I have moved from the rural area where I was, they think that now I'm blessed. And we can see that all these are wrong concept of blessings. Here Paul, again writing to the Romans, I think David did give a summary. In chapter 1, he talks about the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. And he says that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, just as it is written, that the just shall live by faith. And then from verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed against what? Ungodliness or godlessness and wickedness. And you will see that then from chapter 2, the whole world is guilty before God. Then in chapter 3, from verse 20, he talks about justification by faith. That we are made right with God, not through works or any other thing else. But we are made right with God only through faith. And faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he comes and gives us chapter 4 examples of two people who are justified or made right by faith. And this example is Abraham and David. These were people who were made right through faith. They were justified through faith alone. And here, there we see the word, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you see the word therefore, it takes us back what he has been saying. He has been saying that justification by faith is biblical. It's something the Old Testament saints believe. You talk of Abraham. I remember some years back, we were given to write about Abraham's faith. And I wrote many things. And I got a lot of marks, by the way. But I did not write that part of justification by faith. You talk of his test and how he passed the test with the flying colors. You talk of all these things, but you neglect this more important thing in Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's very important. Very important. And here is what he's saying. But don't think that this is a new concept. It's something which Abraham, the father of faith, believed in, that men, people are justified by faith. And David also discovered this. The King David himself, a man who is written, the Bible says that a man after God's own heart, he knew very well that it is justification by faith. Blessed is that man who God covers his sin apart from his work. So even if you talk of David, you talk of Abraham, this great man, it is justification by faith and by faith alone. So let me mention something, number one, about justification by faith. What it is? Justification by faith is an act of God's free grace. An act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoned all our sins and accept us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, and we receive it by faith alone in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's the justification. It is something which God gives freely, something which is not worked for. And you remember sometimes Luther, we just discovered, reading Romans 13, 1 chapter 1, verse 17, I think it must be 17. The righteous shall live by faith. He discovered it. And all of a sudden, the man who has been trying to work out his salvation, he discovered it. The Holy Spirit illuminated his mind. And he discovered this great act, that man is justified by faith. He has tried hard by his own works and he failed. But by God's grace, he discovered it. And here we are saying, it is justification by faith. And it is something which God our Father does. It is his work. He is the one who do it. We read Jonah. Jonah already declared that salvation belongs to God. And therefore, to be justified, it is by faith. And this is the work of God our Father. God himself declaring us righteous. So we say that it's something which God does himself. Because you remember Mark, when the man who was paralyzed, you remember when they put him down and the Lord Jesus Christ told him, son, your sin is forgiven. The Jews eventually just said that it is only God who can forgive sin. And here we are saying that it is only God who can justify, because he is the only one who can forgive sins. And also we say that justification by faith, it is a work of God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we are justified. We are justified through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear ones, are we preaching it? Have we been liberated by the message of justification by faith? Or we are still thinking that it is through our works or our doing? Do we believe this? Are we embracing it with all our hearts, with all our strength? Oh, how we need people who will go out there and thunder to Kenya that it is justification by faith. Faith, it was defined yesterday In fact, I was saying that it has overlapped, such that some of my points I have to put aside. Justification by faith. Faith is a gift. It springs out of our being born again, and God works in us. And it is through this faith and trust in God and the work of Christ that then we are justified. Nowhere else. And nothing else, my dear ones. And this is what we need to be preaching in our pulpit. Oh, when Luther discovered it, it standard throughout the Europe. It is justification by faith. They sang it, they preached it, they wrote about it. And what a liberating message. Today I was reading, one of my favorite books is Five English Reformers by J.C. Ryle. Some of these men were burned in a place called Smithfield, dying. Why? Believing in doctrine of justification by faith. No transubstantiation at all, they say. They refused to recant. And they went there. I remember one, I can't not remember the name, as he was going there to die. He told people, "Good people, I have always taught you and drawn my teachings from this book. And today I've come to seal them with my blood." Justification by faith. Are we ready to go and proclaim it? And so this justification by faith, Paul is telling the Romans that there are benefits, there are blessings which it brings. And my work was to talk about the blessings of justification. Can you see it in verse 1? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is number one blessing. Having been justified by faith, Paul tells the Romans. The Romans, it is by faith. Don't be confused that it is by works. Don't be confused that it is through the ceremonial law and temple worship. Don't try to dilute it in any other way. It is justification by faith. And here is the result. This is the blessing you have. Blessing number one is that you have got now peace with God. You remember, as we read before, as I quoted, and I'm still going to show you. In chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Then the whole world is guilty. And then in verse 10, here where we have read, let us read verse 8 first. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. We were not good. We were not righteous. And then verse 10 says, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled. So Paul here is saying, the state of our relationship is not a peace of, you know, the peace of God. Peace, the inward peace which we get as a result. God give us peace. He's not talking about that peace which we experience, no. He's talking about the relationship. A sinner is God's enemy. And we were enemy. We were at war with God. Why were we at war with God? Our God is so holy. God is righteous. God is exalted above everything else, and he dwells in holiness. And God requires nothing else except perfection. And none of us, no one at all, is righteous. We saw it in the afternoon when our brother was giving the paper, that we need this justification so that we may have peace with God, because we are all sinful. We are all sinful. Because Adam's sin was imputed to us. We all sin in Adam. We have that original sin in us. And therefore, at birth, already we are at war with God. Immediately we come into this world,
We are at war with God because God is holy. He requires perfection and we fall short of that perfection. Also, we know that our nature is corrupt. And he'll say it in chapter 3 from verse 9. All have sinned. Fall short of God's glory. We'll see it in verse 10. And then we'll give description of human being body. We show that all is rotten. All our nature is corrupt. The heart is gone wrong. Our emotions gone wrong. Our understanding darkened. No one seeketh after God. No, not one. Our nature corrupt. And corrupted by sin. And therefore, we cannot have a good relationship with God. And not only that, our personal lives are also sinful. We call that sometimes actual sin. We not only sin in Adam, but we ourselves also have sinned. And then sinners are to be condemned because God is just. And here is a great blessing which we should rejoice and even jump, leave alone buying a new car. Here is where we should be thrilled and be happy that a sinner, condemned, wretched, deserve justice, have now peace with God. We are brought one. We are reconciled. We are at a place of peace with our Maker. Oh, this is what you should be saying. I should be saying every Sunday that here is a blessing that man and can have peace with God. We are no longer at war. We are now on God's side. I remember Isaiah saying, it must be Isaiah 59, that the hand of God is not short that he cannot save, nor his ears dull that he cannot hear. But your sin has separated you from him. Your sin has separated you from him. And now, because of faith in Christ, and we have been justified by faith in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his finished work, we are now on God's side. We are his friends. So, what he's saying here, justification by faith bring real, true peace, which is peace with our God. We are no longer tempted to question our relationship with our God as a result of being justified by faith. God was angry with us. His wrath and judgment was piling us up against us because we were guilty before him. But God has been propitiated by what Christ Jesus did on Calvary Cross. And now we are at peace. The anger and the punishment which was to fall on us has fallen on our substitute. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have peace with God. What a blessing to us. This is the blessing of the gospel. We have. Not that we are hoping to have. Not that we are on our way to have it. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been imputed to us. And when he looked at us, he no longer sees us. See the righteousness of his Son. And we are right in his sight. A good example of the righteousness being imputed to us, I normally give is this. I have a daughter, and she's in primary school. If she's a chance to come home for fees, and I go there and give the headmaster money, when they are asking the class, how many people have paid, she will raise up her hand. Even though she did not give the money, the money is mine, but she's considered to have paid. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done to us. God in Christ done for that to us. The righteousness has given for us. And now when we are asked, are you justified by faith? Yes. Because it has been credited to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It means that this peace also is, it comes into our hearts. Our conscience no longer accuses us. Dhamira, ile yenye hukumu, you know? Baada, kabla hujazaliwa mara ya upili, kuna dhamira yenye hukumu. Inakuhukumu kila wakati. In fact, hata Luther yule ambaye alipata, dhamira yake ilikuwa na hukumu. Kila saa, the conscience condemning. But when we are justified, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, oh, even we are now at peace. Our conscience no longer accuses us. God's justice, which is coming, and indeed, not only coming, because you know that, I think one of the pastors here taught us this. The judgment is not only future, it is also present. It's also present. The future we are waiting for full manifestation. Remember that the people in the Romans chapter 1 from verse 18, they are experiencing God. God gave them up. They are experiencing that judgment already. But when we are justified, in fact, Paul is referring to some of these Romans. Because he's saying, since we have, he's including some of these people in the Roman church. Maybe some who are living this life, who are under this God's wrath, and they are now have got faith in Christ. He's now telling them, we have been justified through faith, so we have got peace with God. So the justice of God do not terrify us. We know that it has been made in the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan cannot condemn us. Cannot condemn us. Because we have been justified. Are we doing this? Are we preaching this? Are we teaching this? I remember a young man came to me some years back. And he told me, Pastor, I backslid the last night. And I said, why? He told me, I dreamed that I was drunk. So my salvation is gone. This is a result we are not grounding people. That salvation does not depend on us. Justification does not depend on our acts. It depends on the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. And there are many people who are worried about their salvation. And they need us to go and tell them that if you are justified by faith in Christ Jesus, you have got peace with God. I remember Pastor Friend. He's a Pentecostal pastor friend. He called me, told me, Pastor, my people are worried about their salvation. They are saved, yes. But because salvation is something you can lose any time, they are afraid, who can make it? If we are seeing great men falling, who then will stand? How am I sure that I'll be able to stand? We need to be telling our people that there is peace with God through faith in Christ. When we are justified, there's peace with God, and it is peace with God, which God alone has given to us through his dear Son, as a result of trusting in the finished work of our dear Savior. God is still our judge, yes. Yes, he's our judge. But God is also our Father. He's our Father. You know, remember when we pray, we call him our Father who is in heaven. Romans later will say that there is no condemnation now for them that are in Christ Jesus. Do you know this peace? Again, I repeat. Has Christ Jesus atoned for your peace? So that's number one blessing. Number one blessing which we have is that now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize that word through. We have got peace with God. Can you read it? Let us read it together.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people may think that it can be through temple worship or through other ways. But Paul here is saying that peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between man and God. No other way to have this peace with God, this great blessing I'm talking about, the great blessing of peace with God, it must be through Jesus Christ. And I repeat it, and I'll repeat it again and again. It is not through any other person. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those days, when we had post office, our post office was very small. I was in a village in Ugenya, very small. And so, there was a person who used to write to the mother. I can still remember how he used to address the letter. Say, Mama Nyabinera Julia Nyamenya, P.O. Box 13, Ugunja, via Siaya. It means that letter must pass via Siaya. It's not any, Siaya is the big town known. So the letter must have passed via Siaya. And this peace with God is via the Lord Jesus Christ. No other route. Peace with God, we cannot attain it anyway. Anywhere, in any way. It is via the Lord Jesus Christ. His atoning work. It is via the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is the Lord Jesus Christ who has lived a perfect life. And his perfect life fulfilled the law on our behalf. It's no other person. Tell me anyone over the world. It is the only, as we saw in the morning and the first day, it is only the Lord Jesus Christ who lives a perfect life without sin. Kabisa is the only one and the only one. And therefore, peace with God must be through him and through him alone. He's the one who atoned for our sin by his precious blood. He's the only one who has satisfied the God's moral law. He's the only one who has met God's standard of perfection. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, peace with God is through Jesus Christ. Are we telling people this every Sunday? Or in our daily walk, do we talk of peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? I recently met two young ladies, very lovely ladies. They used to sit together in where I live, and I greeted them. I told them, what did you learn today? What was the message preached on Sunday? They told me, I think Revelation 12. And our feet were also anointed with oil. So whenever we step on, we are just going to receive the blessing. It is not through the anointing with oil. My idea is not that. It is via the Lord Jesus Christ. Let people anoint people over their heads and pour the oil. Let them swim in the pool. But cannot bring peace with God. Totally, it will not. Please, that is also the work of paganism. And must be thrown out. We must go and tell people. It is peace with God. And it is through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ alone. Let us not tell people to pursue money. Let us encourage people to pursue peace with God. Even peace of God is so wonderful. But today, if I want something from President Kibaki, my first thing I have to struggle with is how to go to State House. Leave alone the thing he's going, how to go to the State House and be able to talk with the President. Oh, my dear. Then I'll talk of what he's able to give. Let us not so much, some people, we just seek peace of God. We want that tranquility in our hearts and settle like that. But we don't want the relationship with God himself. And this one is only through Jesus Christ. So the anointing with oil, which is popular. In fact, it's very popular. As some of us who come from Roho, We are seeing that Roho has now come to evangelical churches. We, even as we used to have blessed people with holy water, you know. Recently when my father died, as he was being buried, they blessed the kaburi with holy water. It was poured there. But the modern one in town, which we see on our television, they have advanced it. And they have put it to look so nice that you have got a nice bottle. And you know, there are smaller blessing of 1,000, there's another blessing of 2,000, there's another blessing which is higher than that of 5,000, there's another one of 10,000, and the rest. My dear, let me be frank and tell you, it is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Those bottles, if you have one, go and destroy. And let us know that none is incomparable with our Savior. He is incomparable. Even in his justification, even in the peace with God, he is incomparable. And if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all. So it is peace with God. And this peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite passages, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 verse 30 to 31. You say, it is of him, that's God, that you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has become our wisdom, who has become our righteousness, who has become our sanctification. That if any man is to boast, he must only boast in what the Lord has done. He has done all for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these blessings, peace with God, is via the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's number one blessing. I know that we may not be thrilled because maybe a blessing we consider to Otieno has left Olmaroroi and is now in Nairobi, John Hong. Hallelujah! No. Even those people preaching the gospel in those corners, those pastors who have got no shoes and no bicycles and are laboring, they have been blessed. They have got peace with God. And they are proclaiming this peace with God. That's what we must stand for. Then Paul now gives us another thing. In verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Another benefit we are seeing here is that we have obtained access. I want to emphasize that word, obtain. It shows that something has been done for us. It's not something we have achieved for ourselves. He is telling them the blessings which we have is that now, because we have been justified, and now we have got peace with God, having peace with God, we have also obtained access to God in this grace in which we now stand. It seems Paul is saying that the air we are breathing, we are standing in the atmosphere of grace, that which we do not deserve at all. So he's saying we have obtained access into the throne of grace in which we now stand. You know, as a Gentile, this event should even thrill us better than other people. We were without hope, without God, separated from commonwealth of Israel. We were object of wrath. But we can now rejoice in God that we have obtained mercy, and not only mercy. The word used here is introduction. It is like a rebel. A rebel who was, remember, let me give you an example. During the former president Moi, those of you who were there in, must have been the first multi-party election, must have been maybe 93, around 92. and the result was 93. There were people who defected. Many people defected from their party and joined KANU. And the state house was organized and people come from rural area. When those defectors were coming, and they are introduced to the chamber, to the state house, and they enjoy food there, and they are with the president. And the president, after defection, will go and campaign with them. And then some of them, majority of them won, especially in Western Kenya. And now they had access, overflowing access to state house. They were now, they had free hand to President Moi. And even some goodies were now going to their area. Here we are seeing that we were rebels. We are sinners and we sin against our God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, having been justified by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ has led us to God himself. And now we have access to God. We have been ushered to God. We have been brought into a state which brings security and confidence before our God. So, one of the blessings which we have now received is that we now have access to God. Do you know that even the Jews had it, but even them, the temple was divided into three. The holiest of all, the holy place, and the outer court. But here, you know, the mercy seat and where there were cherubim, only the high priest could go inside there. But now, we have been taken by the Lord. And we have been taken to the very presence of the Most High God. We have access to God. I think the book of Hebrews put it well. Hebrews 4, can we look at it? Then we come back. Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 4, not chapter 2. Chapter 4, verse 16. Let us just begin from verse 14. Seeing that then, that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who does not sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help us in the time of our need. Speaking that, you know, he's telling these people that what we have in Jesus Christ is better than what the Old Testament saint had. What we had in the Lord Jesus Christ is far better. We have got a high priest who sympathizes with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see this access. He's saying, therefore, you can now come to the throne of grace with boldness. Where to come? Where should I come? Come to the throne of grace. Come to the throne of grace. When you go there, the presence of God is a place where what we see is the grace. That multicolored grace of God. That which we do not deserve. Which we have not worked for. Let us come now to the throne of grace. And how to come? He's telling us, we come with confidence. We have obtained access. So we come with confidence. And this is a great blessing, having access. No Old Testament saint could go like that. We go with confidence. See, the confidence is not confidence, ile aivi. This is a confidence which is very different. It's not God is a consuming fire, Pastor Sam told us yesterday. We dare not joke with God. Do you know that even somebody tried to help when the ark was almost falling down, he tried to help? Don't joke. Sometimes I see us joking even in the church. God is holy, must be respected, and we must revere him. That's a fact. So it's not confidence going. When we go to him, we close our mouth. He is set apart. This confidence is what he's saying here, that we have been justified and given access. It is like you have been invited to a party or a wedding. And when they ask you, why should we allow you in? And you produce an invitation card. Say, here, I'm invited. The Lord Jesus Christ has invited us, and has given us his righteousness. So we don't go in confidence of our own confidence. We go in confidence because he has washed us with his blood. And his righteousness has been given to us. And we have been given access. It's not just confidence like that. It is confidence based on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. And he's saying, when can we come? When can we come? We come at the time of need. We don't need a priest to stand here to give you access. He's saying, no, we have obtained it. We have obtained it. You all who trust in Jesus, you all who have been justified by faith, you have obtained it. And you don't need somebody to stand there between you. You can come. And you can come even the time of need. And then tell us that we come there to obtain mercy and grace. When we go there, we obtain mercy and grace. So we are so grateful to God that we have got this blessing which the gospel has brought to us. The gospel has brought to us peace with God. The gospel has brought to us access to God. Are we telling our people this? Do we believe this? Are we teaching this? I think most of us and most people, and by the way, these things is very tempting, and we must be on guard. Most of us want to create what we refer to as a personality cult. And so good, even preachers who formerly used to preach the word of God are changing. And now we want to be the center. Not only Roman Catholic priests are still there. We now have them in some of our churches. They are the only one who can pray for you. They are the only one who can bless. In fact, if he goes to safari, to Tanzania, you are in a problem. Maybe you'll have to pick your phone and say, can you please just say a prayer even on the phone? May the Lord help us to teach people that we have obtained access to God. And this is a benefit which we have, because we have been justified. The gospel of Jesus Christ has given us this. You know that most of our cultures, we used to have people who were representing us. People who were standing in between us and God. In our, most of our cultures, those of us who are here. And please, when we are born again and we have become preachers, let us know that it is very different. We have obtained access. And every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ have obtained this access to God. And it is not by works, my dear ones. It's not by the money we give. It is not by our strength. It is not because our abilities. It's not because where we come from. It's simply that he has declared us righteous on the merit of his Son, that we have obtained this grace blessing. Even me, as unworthy as I am, that we have obtained access. What a wonderful blessing. What a great blessing to make the church rejoice and to make the church go out to preach that it is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the number two blessing which we have. So number one, it is peace with God. No longer at war. And then we are seeing that we have obtained access into this grace in which we now stand. We have been introduced to the very chamber of our Heavenly Father. Then there's another blessing which we have. The gospel brings this blessing. And you see it there. It is there. We are in Romans. Let us read verse 2 again. Through whom also we have obtained, whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He's telling them, look, you church, Abraham justified by faith, David justified by faith, and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary cross has given us peace with God. It has given us access, and we are now rejoicing. We are now rejoicing in the hope of sharing the glory of God. The word joy and rejoice, I think it also has been misused. This joy we are talking here does not come just as a result of what we obtain outside. It's a joy which comes as a result of us being justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Some years back, I attended the seminar. And we were told, rejoice. And we think, you know, even that's not even happiness. In fact, that is madness. Even happiness, if somebody has promised you something, you will be happy. But tell me, just let us just say, woo, woo, woo. And I remember when I was in Kiboko, a preacher came, and I don't know what he did to people. People start laughing. I tell you, people laugh all over the whole night. People just laughing non-stop. And they say that's the joy of the Lord. That's not the joy of the Lord. The joy here we are seeing. We are rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Justification, the beginning of our salvation. As we are sure that we are justified, we are also certain. The hope here is certain, sure, definite, that we are going to share the glory of God. They say that English word for the word hope sometimes can be vague. I hope I'll pass my... Do you think you are going to pass your examination and maybe I'm poor? Do you think you are going to pass mathematics and I'm poor? I hope so. That is not sure. This is not sure. But the hope we are talking here is certain and sure that the God who has justified us, one day we shall see his glory. We shall share his glory. We are certain of it. Without any shadow of doubt, we know that he has saved us. He has rescued us. And we are going to share the glory of God. This is the glory which God gives to his people. It is the glory which we see in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. In Colossians, we'll say that the Lord Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have the Lord Jesus Christ in you, then the hope of glory. So we rejoice that one day after the end of everything, we are going to share the glory of God. And you know that glory is there. This glory is there. In fact, there was a nice song we used to sing when we were in Roho. A very good song. He's saying that even things we are talking that they are in heaven, they are there. Do you think that God is cheating you? No, it is true. Those things are there. And the glory we are talking that one day we are going to share the glory of God. And we have got this hope of sharing the glory of God. It is there. You remember in a play, those of you who have watched a play, they normally put a curtain. Before the drama is played, a curtain is there. The players are already, the game are there. But we are just waiting for the curtain to be removed. And if the curtain is removed, you see all who are there. My dear ones, the glory of God is there, and we have tested this in justification by faith. And one day, ultimately, we have got hope of sharing that glory of God. My dear ones, people don't want to live here no longer. The spark which used to pull us toward desire of seeing this glory of God has gone, and people want to stay here. And so when he preached to them, I remember a brother came to me and told me, "You'll never be rich." We were with him in a Bible college. And one day he visited me in Masaini and he came and listened to me preaching. He told me, "Michael, you will never be rich." And I told him why. He told me, "You have still stuck to this principle of preaching. Change it. Use one verse and you repeat it several times, several times, several times. Then turn to giving." And I tell you so. In fact, before my wife, I was so amazed. I was so amazed that a pastor could speak. Then turn to giving, and soon you will be thriving. Brethren, we have got something more than gold, more than silver, more than anything this life can offer. We have got hope of the glory of God. Amen. And that is a blessing we have. Amen. Nowhere do you have it. You don't have it even in other religions, by the way. This hope of the glory of God. You know, even Apostle Paul had it when he told the Thessalonians, "Don't mourn as those who have got no hope." Yes, even in your mourning, don't be like those who have got no hope. As we have got hope. We have got hope. Let us let them say that we are lost or confused. But my dear, the end will reveal. When we shall meet the Lord face to face, then shall we know who was foolish. Even though the world is referring to us as foolish, but when we shall see him face to face, then shall we know who was foolish. So we are rejoicing in the hope of sharing the glory of God. Christ prayed that his followers will see his glory. In John 17, he prayed that the dying Stephen did see the glory of God. Saw it and say, "I can see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God." And I have quoted Colossians 1:27, that the Lord Jesus, the glory is connected with Christ. This all glory of God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we have seen so far three things, three blessings, which Paul is telling the Roman church, and which is ours. Number one blessing which we have seen is that being justified by faith, we now have peace with God. And also we are seeing that we have also obtained access to the to God. We have obtained access to God. If you leave it there, I think you will go happy home. If we stop there, we will go happy home. But before you go happy home, let us read verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory, or we also rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Oh, Paul, what are you telling us now? Is it not wonderful that we have peace with God? Yes, it is very wonderful that we have got peace with God. Paul, is it not wonderful that we have obtained access to God? Yes, it is wonderful. Is it not wonderful that we are rejoicing in hope of sharing the glory of God, and we are sure and certain that we are going to share it? Yes, it is wonderful. But we also rejoice in suffering. Paul, if you preach this in some churches, so people become gloomy. You know, they are so happy, hope of sharing the glory of God, hallelujah. Hope of sharing glory of God, obtaining access, hallelujah. But Paul is now saying that another blessing of the gospel which we have is rejoicing in suffering. Do you want us to remove it from the Bible? We should not remove it from the Bible. Ours is to bow and say, thank you, God, that those who have been justified, even though facing persecution, God's grace and the Holy Spirit works in them, enable them to rejoice in their suffering. So we also rejoice in suffering. There used to be a church in Nairobi. I think they have changed the name. Round Global Stemma. It was written, stop suffering! By joining the Universal Church of Christ, it would be a big banner. Stop suffering! What is it? The Bible says we rejoice in it! Not that we stop! The Bible says that we also rejoice in our sufferings. And then he give reasons why we rejoice in our sufferings. That is unique, because that's not offered by the world. That's not offered by waganga. Waganga want to help us to not even to enjoy pain or whatever, waganga. But here he's telling us that being justified by faith, the blessing which we now experience, which is different and unique, is that we are able to rejoice in our sufferings. And we say that the sufferings is also a means of our own sanctification. He says here that the reason why we rejoice in it, he says that tribulation produces perseverance. As we go through suffering, there are bad suffering, by the way. If today they cut my nose because I stole, that one is not for the glory of God. And that's not a Christian suffering. But there are those sufferings which we face as Christians. We face them because we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember this girl who was in a secondary school and was mocked by a teacher. And then the others start mocking. A teacher was saying that a girl who does not have a boyfriend is, and the rest say, abnormal. A girl is abnormal. And then he say, what do you mean by girlfriend? Is it that relationship, friendship? Or you mean going deeper than friendship? Say, I'm sorry. That's what I mean. But if you don't, then the other say, abnormal. So you can see a person can be ridiculed because his or her faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we rejoice in this suffering. We have got a blessing that we are able to rejoice in suffering, because it produces perseverance.
Do you want to persevere?
The Bible here is telling us that sometimes the sufferings we go through, they produce perseverance. Somebody was telling of me of a person who was impatient and say that, oh God, he prayed that God help me to be a person who is able to persevere, not be easily moved. And he wanted to employ a secretary. And she employed this lady who was very slow in typing. Beep! Beep! I said, let me. But God, I pray that she helped me to teach me to be. So, here what we are seeing is that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, experience. A person who has been molded and has come out of trouble. You have an experience. Remember David? David had an experience. When Saul asked him, will you be able to face Goliath? He said, you know, I do look after my father's sheep. I look after them. And the lion comes, and the deer comes, and I have destroyed them. God has helped me. I've seen God when I was taking care. Character. You're just seeing me here. I have the Lord through the help of God. So the God who has helped me in the past. God who was with me during those lions. And God who was with me during the... This same God, Jehovah God, he's going to help me face this Goliath. So he developed character. So suffering produces character. Let me just mention some things then about suffering and I'll be finished. Sometimes we suffer because we are Christians. And that's why we need to rejoice. Because we are just suffering the fact that we are Christian. And sufferings also here, we see that God uses it to sanctify us. He uses us to help us to grow to maturity. Also suffering reveals the power of God. When he comes to rescue us. So we rejoice in our suffering. We consider it an honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We consider that we are honoring the Lord Jesus Christ for suffering because of his cause. Even as I speak to you, it's sad that we no longer, and people no longer pray for Christians who are jailed. Christians no longer struggle to know those who are in prison because of the name of the Lord to pray for them. It's just easy thing we are praying for. We need to be praying for Christians who are suffering because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say that we rejoice in suffering. It's an occasion also to manifest God's power. One of our teachers, not here, Martin Bassi, used to give us an example of a person, a missionary, who went to preach in a certain place and there was no result. He had one of the child who was sick. And the child was sick until the child died. And people saw the way this missionary handled the sickness of the child, the way they handled and the way everything ended. The next day, it was packed. People started coming. So sometimes the way we handle situation when we are in suffering, it reveals the power of God, and the outside world are able to see the power of God and the grace of God in our lives, and they admire even our Savior, and they run even to our Savior. It also uses a means to prepare us for future usefulness. Look for us a person. Can you imagine a pastor who is not sympathetic? pastor who is not sympathetic. Sometimes things happen in our lives as preachers, even for the benefit of others. Because maybe you have never seen a person sick or dead. You are able to proclaim those things you are saying. But Pastor Naftali was telling us that, I declare you heal. I declare, because you have never been there. Let your person be there. And you will go there cautiously. Even as I say this, I must mention somebody in Miadene, the late John Teresia. That man, some of you know, the man went through a lot of suffering, sickness, and he glorified God. People like the one person after he was saying could go to him and tell him, you know, I want to pray for you to pray. I say, no, I'm waiting for the Lord. He can come anytime. He can come anytime. And then you then go there, you think that you will encourage him. You leave the place encouraged. In fact, before he died, even he prayed for me to go and preach the gospel. Sometimes we glorify God in our sufferings. And please be ready even to prepare people for death. Don't just pray for people to be healed. Pray even prepare them for glory. If you have got hope there, why is it that we... Let us prepare people for their glory. I read to him some Romans 18. Romans 8 from 18 to the end. Consider this present suffering not worth comparing with the glory which shall reveal in us. And then this shall not be able. And he said amen, and he never spoke. My dear ones, time has come for us to know that we are able to rejoice in our sufferings. Able to rejoice in suffering. Do you know that amazingly, joy can even be in the midst. Tears can be coming out, yet we have got joy. Joy is only not only when our teeth are out. And we, tears can come. The Lord Jesus Christ shed tears. You remember, as was crucified, but he could see the joy which was ahead. So he rejoiced in our suffering. Okay, and then I'm just almost finishing now. And hope does not disappoint. Suffering produces, and hope does not disappoint. We have got a hope which does not disappoint. The hope which is in our Savior. Why is it that this hope is not disappointing? Because the love of God has been poured. Kumiminwa, Kiswahili. Kumiminwa, the Lord has been miminwa. Imiminwa kabisa. Overflowing in our hearts. So we have got hope which is certain. In fact, Paul again writing to Timothy said, Jesus Christ our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. So we have got hope which will never disappoint us. The hope which is in the Lord Jesus Christ does not disappoint us. And again, as Pastor Sam put it, Pastor Sukesh put it, Pastor Naftali, and I think even Brother David. Here you see the Trinity. All these benefits is from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You see the love of God poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the love of God is poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit was given to us. I was reading a small booklet. I think I took it here. And this man said this. I don't remember his name now. He said, Jesus Christ did not come into this world to help God love us. He came because God had really loved us. You know, there are people who just think that God never loved us, so it is Jesus who has come in to love us. No. The Lord Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You read it there. The reason why he gave him was because God loved us. So, these are some of the blessings which we have
through the gospel, the fact that we have been justified, these blessings are ours. I know many of us here are involved in ministry, or if we are not preaching, we share with others. Are we mentioning these blessings? Do we know these blessings? Are we rejoicing in this blessing? So blessing number one, we say it is peace with God. Blessing number two, obtain access to God. Blessing number three, hope, which is sure that one day we are going to share the glory of God. Justification is the beginning of it. We also rejoice in our suffering. And not only that, also the blessing we have is that we have got a hope which does not disappoint. And the ladder of God, we see the work of the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's tiring. What we have, this love of God, the great love of God, which has been powered in our hearts.